Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
In chapter 3, he says, "I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus." Well, this indicates that to Paul, Christ was the one that had captured him, and not the Roman army. Then in chapter 4, he says that not only was he a prisoner of Christ, but he was a prisoner in Christ. And from this status, he goes on to convey the real meaning and substance of what he called the stewardship of the grace of God. What is this marvelous stewardship? Well, that's the focus of our fellowship today, and Ron Kangas has joined us for another life study from Ephesians. Welcome back, Ron.
Good to be here, and I'm happy to fellowship on this marvelous stewardship. If we do not understand this, and if we do not, by the Lord's grace, enter into this stewardship, then as far as we are concerned, The economy of God cannot and will not be carried out. This matter is not optional. It's exceedingly critical for the carrying out of God's economy. So we need to see this, then by the Lord's grace, we need to be this. So as one endeavoring in the Lord's mercy to participate in such a stewardship, I welcome the opportunity to fellowship on this vital subject.
Ron, Paul was able to use this physical limitation, this imprisonment, as a metaphor that helped him really to communicate the essence or substance of the ministry to these newly saved Gentile believers he was writing to in Ephesus. As you were alluding to, I think it's fair to point out as we begin here, this matter of the stewardship, which we've also used this word economy, and that will be very much part of our program today, is seminal to the ministry that Living Stream represents and really to the ministry of the New Testament that Paul was conveying, isn't it?
It is. The word economy is used to convey the divine thought regarding God's plan to dispense himself into his chosen and redeemed people to produce a corporate expression of himself. God has an economy. When this economy is brought into us to be our service, it becomes our stewardship. And as we are serving the Lord in and according to his economy, we are stewards, in the case of Paul, writing to the Ephesians, it is the stewardship of the grace of God. So the economy, the stewardship, and the stewards are organically one. In order for God's economy to be carried out, this economy must become our stewardship. Then we in Christ, even as prisoners of Christ, need to become stewards of the grace of God, carrying out this marvelous ministry of dispensing Christ and his unsearchable riches into others for the building up of the body of Christ.
Let's look at the verse that we're focused on today, a couple of them actually, right at the beginning of chapter 3. It begins this way, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you, the Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of the grace of God which was given to me for you." And again, we would draw all of our attention to this word stewardship from the Greek word where we get the word economy. And even before we're through today, we'll see something very fresh, I think, regarding the ministry, won't we, Ron?
I trust we will. On our part, we need to be open and we need to be unveiled so that the vision doesn't pass us by. So I hope in the Lord that we will be enlightened, unveiled, and that we will see.
All right, let's join Witness Lee with our first portion today.
In this verse, economy is an anglicized word from the Greek. And this word in the New Testament means a dispensation, a stewardship, and even an administration. According to the custom in the ancient time with a big, rich family. There was always some steward to take care of the home affairs, and their duty was mainly to distribute, to dispense food, to dispense all kinds of precious things to the folks of the family, to dispense all the necessities to all the household in a home. So you can see the sense here is that our father, he has a great family. And this is the divine household. And our father is so rich, rich in supply. So in such a big household with such a rich father, there's the need of not only one steward. There's the need of many stewards to dispense all the riches of the father to all his children. And this dispensing duty is called here the stewardship. So the stewardship is just a dispensing ministry. God dispensing all his riches to his chosen ones. This is the dispensing ministry of God's ministers. Eventually, this dispensing ministry becomes God's administration. God today administrates by dispensing himself into his chosen people. This is God's economy. In the New Testament economy of God, there is the desperate need of such a stewardship.
Ron, I would like to key off of his last phrase here. In the New Testament economy of God, there is a desperate need of such a stewardship. Why does this stewardship represent the real desperate need today?
In my opening fellowship, I suggested or even indicated that in order for God's economy, his dispensing for his expression to be carried out, there must be the genuine New Testament ministry, which is actually equal to the stewardship of God. If there is not the stewardship, that is, if God's economy does not become our stewardship, then God, who is committed to work in and through his believers, has no way to carry out his economy, because there is no one dispensing the unsearchable riches of Christ as grace into others for God's corporate expression. The Apostle Paul was the leading steward. But regrettably, through the centuries, the vision of God's economy was lost, the genuine stewardship was neglected, and although there were countless sincere servants of God, very few were stewards in the sense that Paul was a steward.
Right.
Now, we're not suggesting that we can become stewards in the same measure as Paul was, but the whole tenor of his fellowship in these verses from Ephesians 3 is that all the believers should be such stewards. He called himself less than the least of all saints. He stood on his status as a prisoner of Christ. So there needs to be a recovery of what was in the beginning concerning this stewardship. And this must begin with the vision of the economy of God, with the economy of God becoming our stewardship, and then with the Lord constituting us into faithful stewards. Then there can be this marvelous organic threefold item or matter, the economy, the stewardship, and the stewards. then the Lord has a way to dispense himself into others for his corporate expression, and thus his economy can be carried out. There may be a lot of religious work, a lot of Christian work, a lot of earnest gospel preaching, a lot of serious Bible teaching, and I'm talking about the best that is available to God's people. There may be all these good things, and yet there may not be the stewardship of God carried out by the stewards of God's grace. So this is vital that we reconsider our Christian work in light of the truth concerning God's economy, the stewardship, and the stewards.
We mentioned at the opening the matter that Paul begins this chapter acknowledging or referring to his status being a prisoner. In Paul's eyes, it was this stewardship that was the cause of his imprisonment.
We have to believe, according to the revelation of the Scriptures, that Paul was imprisoned by the enemy using religion and politics. And the enemy is opposed to God's purpose and to God's economy. But as will come out in a later program, God's multifarious wisdom is able, and in fact does, turn all the negative situations to opportunities for his economy to advance. So Paul was imprisoned because of the stewardship, yet this very imprisonment enhanced and expanded his stewardship. If Paul had not been imprisoned, he would not have written Ephesians, and we wouldn't be here today under the tremendous light afforded by this epistle. So once again, the enemy was defeated by our marvelous triune God in his manifold wisdom.
Let's go back to Witness Lee, Ron.
A steward is a dispenser, dispensing all the riches of God to God's children. Paul, as one of the apostles, was such a dispenser. He was such a steward. Yet, here in this chapter, he calls himself a prisoner of the Lord. In the human eyes, Paul was imprisoned by the Roman Empire. Actually, in the eyes of the angels, Paul was imprisoned by Christ. Later on, he called himself not only the prisoner of Christ, but also the prisoner in Christ. He was imprisoned in Christ. Christ is Paul's prison. I tell you, you have to realize, sooner or later, every steward of God, every lover of Jesus, every faithful follower of Christ will be imprisoned in Christ. The more you love him, the more you will be in him. And eventually, to such an extent, he will be a prison to you. Once you get into this prison, you will never like to get out. You love this prison. Why? Because here you enjoy Christ to the uttermost. We all have to thank the Lord that the top revelation in the whole Bible was seen by this prisoner in prison. Do you realize that to see something so divine, you need to be a prisoner? Do you like freedom? But let me tell you, the more freedom you have, the more blind you'll be. If Christ today becomes a prison to you, I tell you, your eyes will be clear. Then you will see the heavenly vision. Yet you receive such a top revelation, not for yourself, but for the church. For the church.
Ron, this really developed as something that we touched right before Witness Lee began to share again, and that was the fact that the Lord used this imprisonment to help even enhance the vision and Paul's bringing it forth. Now, how about us? We just heard him say that In effect, we need to become such prisoners. In what sense was he referring?
I believe the way to understand this is in relation to our experience of Christ and our hopefully ever-deepening oneness with him. Paul was a literal prisoner in a physical prison. But according to his view in chapter 4, verse 1 of Ephesians, he was a prisoner in the Lord. And in his words in chapter 3, we see that he was a prisoner of the Lord. Well, we may not be prisoners in a prison, but we need to be prisoners in the Lord and of the Lord, which means we do not do anything or say anything apart from him. If we are willing to live in Christ as our prison, then the vision will come, the revelation will come, the veil will be lifted, the light will shine through the Word, and we will see the divine things. But if we are loose, if we do not have regard for this kind of organic, divine, spiritual, mystical, mysterious confinement in Christ, if we just exercise our natural freedom, we will blind ourselves. I would say sincerely that the main reason Christians throughout the ages have not seen the vision that Paul wrote about in chapter 3 of Ephesians is that they have been too free. And by too free, I mean free in themselves to have opinions, concepts, free in themselves to serve God according to their own subjective feeling. They may not be outwardly free, but free in the sense of self-freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Paul was a slave of Christ. He was a prisoner of Christ. And as one imprisoned in the Lord, he received marvelous revelation. The heavens were opened to him. Now, we should not expect to get fresh revelation today. The Bible is closed. All the revelation we need is contained therein.
Mm-hmm.
But we need revelation in the sense that we need to see what Paul saw and recorded in Ephesians 3. And if we want to see these things, we need to become like our brother Paul, a prisoner of Christ, a prisoner in Christ.
Ron, we want to come back to this phrase in verse 2 that we touched at the beginning of the program today, and that is the stewardship of the grace of God. And he picks it up again, the same thought in verse 7 in chapter 3, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. And this grace, as we will see, is altogether related to the stewardship. And a marvelous, very simple illustration will be used if we can all remember back to when flight attendants used to be called stewardesses. Here's Witness Lee.
What is the stewardship of the grace? The stewardship here is just the dispensing ministry. And what is the grace? If you read the whole chapter 3, you will see the grace is just the riches of Christ. When the riches of Christ are given to you and enjoyed by you, all the riches become your grace. And Paul's dispensing ministry is just to dispense the riches of Christ as grace to the believers. Today, on the airplane, the stewardess, you got the word, right? What are they doing there? They are dispensing food to you. This was Paul's ministry. We all are on a big, big 747. We don't have the stewardess, but we do have a steward. And this steward's name in our airplane is by the name Paul. He is dispensing so many dishes to us. And all these dishes are just the riches of Christ. Amen. These riches of Christ are the grace. God has an economy just to dispense himself in Christ as rich as to people. What is stewardship? Stewardship is according to God's economy. That is to dispense God into others. All of us can dispense the riches of Christ to others. Not only to win souls, but to dispense. To dispense the riches of Christ into others. Christians today, they talk a lot about ministry. They can ministry, that can ministry. What is the ministry in the Bible? Please tell me. In the whole Bible, there's only one ministry. Peter's ministry, Paul's ministry, your ministry, and my ministry, all are one ministry. One ministry. In the Bible, there's only one ministry. And what is this ministry? The ministry is just the stewardship. And the stewardship is just the dispensing ministry. To dispense God into others. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you not a minister?
Amen.
All are ministers.
Ron, it's a simple illustration, but I do think it's a clear one. This matter of what we used to call stewardesses, of course, we don't have those anymore, but it is a helpful illustration, isn't it, to understand what is meant by this phrase, the stewardship of the grace.
Well, now we have flight attendants, a kind of a neutral term, and that's fine. But we lose something in not using the word stewards or stewardesses. But we're not really interested in that outward practice, but in the spiritual significance. God needs stewards today. Stewards of what? Of the grace of God. And the grace of God, understood according to the context of Ephesians 3, refers to the unsearchable riches of Christ, becoming our experience and our enjoyment in the way of life. So first, we need to receive the divine dispensing of the unsearchable riches of Christ. Then these dispensed riches become grace to us for our experience and enjoyment. And this grace is in life. The more we are constituted with the riches of Christ, becoming the grace of God in life, then the more we are able to distribute these riches to others. This is where the stewardship of the stewards comes in. And this is urgently needed today. Paul's view is that all the members of the body of Christ have a share in this stewardship, and all are stewards of the grace of God. We need to see this so that the God whom we love has a way to carry out his economy. I can't say it any plainer than that.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you for joining us today. And for Ron Kangas, I'm Chris Wilde.